Hey there, everyone. You're listening to the End of the Day podcast with Carrie Watterson. This is episode 62. The End of the Day podcast is a show for people who want to stop letting their thoughts keep them from being who they want in life. I'm your host, life and mindset coach Carrie Watterson. I spent decades spiraling in and out of depression. I know the pain of feeling at the mercy of your limiting thoughts, wishing you could be one of those people who could feel the fear and do the thing anyway. I'm here to tell you, you can. I went from a lifetime of feeling that happiness and success were for other people, not me, to believing that anything is possible. If you're willing to lay down the identity of someone who can't and commit to doing the daily work of learning to manage your mind. So much resistance at first, but I was desperate. I wanted to know if changing my thinking could really change my life, and I was willing to give 100% to find out. That's why I started this podcast, to share tools and concepts to help you lay down your own resistance so you can finally give yourself the chance to see what's possible when you stop letting your thoughts be the reason you don't go after what you want in life. Welcome to the podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. So before we begin today's episode, I just wanted to share something that I did last night, just because I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought, you know, this actually is something that maybe more people might want to hear about. So yesterday, my husband and I had a meeting at my daughter's school. They are thinking of shutting down the school, or actually they have voted to shut down the school. And so yesterday was an informational night on basically how to help parents and students, primarily the students, right, to transition from this particular school that they're at into one of the other schools in the school district within a certain period of time. I won't get into the conversation about that whole decision here, but definitely it's had an impact on the students and, of course, every single person that works at that school. And it's just a matter of helping ease everyone and us as parents, our daughter, through that transition in a way that is the healthiest and the best decision for her. But last night after I came home from, or my husband and I came home from the meeting, there's a very real tendency to kind of like go back to the patterns that maybe you're familiar with. So maybe I might have put my stuff down, walked my dog, and then come back and maybe thrown a little laundry in, and then maybe just gotten into comfy clothes and maybe watched TV until it was time for bed. Or, as sometimes happens, watch TV until I fall asleep, which is probably a few minutes after I start watching it. And then I wake up at weird hours and then have to turn the TV off and turn everything off and go to bed. Maybe this is also you. But last night, after I came home from that school meeting, I decided to do something different instead. And I'm not sure exactly what time it was, maybe close to 8. And I found myself staring at the refrigerator, looking at this recipe that I have clipped to it for oatmeal cookies. My daughter and I had decided last week that we'd like to make some cookies, and we had everything for oatmeal cookies. And so the plan was to make them last week. We never did it. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to make oatmeal cookies. This was last night. And so I did. And I have to say, this morning when I woke up, I thought, wow, what a good use of my time. Because what could have happened was, again, could have come home, done the usual stuff, gotten into, you know, the comfy clothes, and then vegged out until it was time for bed. But I actually did something that I had been wanting to do and that would provide some sort of result that was actually something that I figured I would look forward to and definitely my daughter would look forward to. And so that's what I did last night at 8 o'clock or so, made cookies. Here's the thing. So we didn't have parchment paper, so I used a silicone baking sheet. Are you guys familiar with those? And I don't know what happened. So the oatmeal cookies, I ended up cooking them for 5 minutes longer for each sheet. And I let them cool and they turned out really, really, really chewy and moist, which sounds like amazing, but For these cookies, I was not expecting it at all. And so I actually put them in the refrigerator last night to see if they would harden up a little bit. But now they are just chewy, moist, and now a little bit cold. So I don't know what I did. They taste fine. They almost taste like I took a blob of cooked oatmeal and put them on the sheet and maybe hardened it a little bit. But a little disappointed for the effort, but I actually like the fact that I still made cookies last night instead of vegging out in front of the TV. Now, the issue is not whether or not I watched TV last night, but the issue is, obviously, I had this thought in my head that I would like to be spending a lot more of my evenings a little bit differently. Something maybe more constructively, and not constructively from a place of like, if I don't do certain types of activity versus other types of activity, then there's something wrong with me. Just something that I'm just kind of leaning more into my intuition and kind of listening more to what actually I would like to be doing instead. So I think I would like to be maybe playing more games. My aunt and my mom and I recently played a game, a card game called, I think, Kings in the Corner. All you need is a plain deck of cards and a few people. And it's fun. It's kind of like a solitaire type of thing, but obviously with multiple people. And that was fun when we did that together. And so I think my intuition is telling me I'd like to do something like that. Or if no one wants to play with me, maybe actually play solitaire, right? And not just change into comfy clothes and watch Formula One or something like that on Netflix, right? So I thought I'd share that in case you might have some sort of ping or leaning toward that general direction as well, doing something different than you normally do at night. I had a client who, when she realized that she was overworking, and that was all she really knew how to do. And she actually would struggle with weekends coming up. Like, how am I going to fill my week or my weekend? Because she, in the past, would just pull out her laptop and maybe start working. And she was really trying to set some boundaries for herself because she didn't want to burn out like before. And she wanted to really actually have a cutoff period for work and then doing things that actually interested her, grew her, or just was a way that she felt was a way of letting her brain rest from work to do something different, right? And she found it sometime in the very beginning really challenging. Like, what do I do with all this time, this Saturday and Sunday? What do I do with it? Do I read a book? And it was just interesting, actually, recalling where she was at the time that she was struggling with that. And I'm talking about where she was in her own personal growth journey. And now some 18 months, 2 years later, there might be a little element of that, but I don't think nearly as much of a looming issue now as it was back then for her. So that was interesting to remember. This segues into the topic for today, which is doing interesting things in your downtime. Now, obviously, making cookies for some people, and I know some people specifically who bake a lot. And so maybe baking in your downtime is not an interesting thing for you, or is not the thing that is giving you a rest from your daily routine. Now, me, I rarely bake. And so deciding to make cookies last night was something definitely outside of my normal routine for later in the evening. If you're a baker, then maybe watching a show that you've never seen before is something different for you. The point is not what you do per se, rather just bringing awareness to how you are spending your downtime, just to make sure that you're spending it with intention and from a place of choice, rather than just kind of like checking out and moving on autopilot in the evenings as well. Now, for some of you, that's what you want, is to be able to kind of check out and go on autopilot in the evenings. Maybe you use your brain a lot during the day, or maybe you use your brain to worry and have lots and lots of mental chatter during the day, and you're exhausted by night, and so you actually want your brain to shut off, and you don't want to think about anything, and you just want to go on autopilot. And the only thing that I might say is, number one, totally get you. I definitely can relate if this is your mindset. But again, it's not whether you watch TV or veg out at night versus baking or drawing or writing or playing games or exercising or catching up on housework. It's more, is that how you want to spend your time? Is it intentional? Now, it doesn't mean that you love what you're doing. It's just that you're doing it on purpose. And you're also listening to yourself to see if maybe you have a desire to be using that time differently. Sometimes people feel really stuck and stagnant and trapped by their own lives. It feels like a never-ending Groundhog Day. I would often view the evening and, frankly, the very early morning hours, like 12 a.m., 1 o'clock, etc., as my time. Maybe this resonates with you, this idea that you view a set period of time as your time. Maybe it's the time that the house is more quiet. The external world seems to be more quiet. No one is expecting anything from you. It's kind of sad that when we get to this point in our day that we've labeled or designated even subconsciously as our time, that's the time we have the least amount of energy. And so, of course, it makes sense that some of the most common things we do during, quotes, our time involves things like vegging out in front of the TV. I actually journaled on this topic the other day, and that is the topic of how I'm spending this, quotes, me time. And what I realized was, if that was in fact me time, and I was in fact spending the majority of me time on most days watching a show or documentary on TV, one would think that that would be how I wanted to spend that time, right? Because I was doing it a lot. But in reality, my body had become used to doing that. It became very familiar with the pattern to the extent that my body started feeling even more tired when I sat down to watch TV because I had trained my brain and my body that sitting down in front of the TV was basically the last thing I did for the night before I went to bed. So in a way, I was setting my own nighttime routine, my own bedtime ritual, not unlike the bedtime rituals we had for our kids, if you have kids, when they were younger. My girls were little, the bedtime ritual started with, hey, it's time for bed, or hey, it's time for a bath, and then bed. And the bedtime routine consisted of going upstairs, taking a bath or not, getting into pajamas, brushing teeth, and then choosing a bedtime story. Of course, the point of the nighttime ritual was to create habits that would signal the brain that it was time to start getting ready for bed. Now, if I'm the parent of toddlers, a nighttime ritual or a bedtime routine is fantastic because the science tells us that doing the same thing in the same order at around the same time each night creates a sense of predictability and comfort for our brain. Our brain knows that sleep will follow. And again, that's wonderful when the intention is sleep. But when the intention isn't sleep, when the desire is actually, quotes, alone time or me time, last thing we want to do is fall asleep, unless that's actually how we want to spend that time that we've designated as me time. I would venture to guess that most of us don't realize that if our evenings look pretty similar night after night, that we actually have subconsciously created a bedtime routine for ourselves. Our brains are pattern recognition machines. In psychology, recognizing patterns allows us to predict and expect what is coming. As I'm recording this, I can see how this pattern recognition plays out. So for me anyway, at least right now, there's a specific time of night where I just feel like I'm fine one moment and the next moment I'm exhausted. I don't know if that's like you or not. Maybe it's when you're like sitting down to dinner and you're not like running around and your body's relaxing and all of a sudden like things slow down and your body says, wait a second, I'm pretty tired. I'm not sure, but for me, there is a specific time in early evening, it's not even late, that time happens and I can feel it. My eyes actually physically look like all of a sudden I'm super tired. And what I notice, this is what happens after that. I might say, oh my gosh, it's only, let's just say 7:30. And then I might just do a little bit of calculation and I might say, you know, it is way too early for me to be feeling tired. Let me make myself a cup of tea. Or worse yet, let me make myself a cup of coffee. And then I will go through the ritual of going into the kitchen, making tea or coffee, and then setting it down somewhere to drink and relax. Meanwhile, my whole body is settling down. Like, yep, this is very familiar. She's going to be going to bed soon. She's going to be falling asleep soon, right? Because she has gotten up and gotten her tea or coffee, and now she's sitting back down again. And sure enough, if I am supposed to be watching something, let's just say with my family, literally within a few minutes, I will fall asleep. And that is such a pattern that they now expect that to happen, which is actually, frankly, a little embarrassing. But I know that I'm not the only one. Now, thinking about the fact that I have created this bedtime ritual for myself, I can see why yesterday it was so delightful for me to make cookies. At the time, of course, I was tired, but I had just come home from something which was a little bit different. And instead of, again, getting into my comfy pajamas or comfy clothes and then sitting down and then getting that wave of exhaustion, which would signal to me time to get some tea or coffee. Instead, I was like, I'm actually not going to sit down. I'm going to make some cookies. So I actually stood up for the next, I don't know, hour and a half or so, 2 hours, making the cookies, taking them out, wondering what the hell happened to the cookies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I had a different experience. And even though I was tired by the end of it, I actually felt like I directed my night instead of my night just getting away from me and then waking up the next morning and feeling like it's Groundhog's Day again. Do you see what I'm saying? So when I talked about in the beginning about this episode being deciding how you want to choose your downtime or asking yourself, are you aware of how you're spending your evenings and are you choosing how you want to spend them? Again, it can even be I choose at 7:30 to make some tea, sit down, and just let the night be what the night will be. If I fall asleep, that's absolutely fine. But like you've chosen that in advance. It didn't just happen over and over and over and over and over and over, right? So this is just another way of feeling like you're getting your life back. If you feel trapped, if you feel stuck, if you feel stagnant in your life, that life is boring or uninteresting, or that you yourself are boring or uninteresting, it could be a simple shift, something very simple to start with. And it might be like, do you know how your evening goes? Is that how you want to spend your evening? If your brain is in fact recognizing specific patterns and then preparing the body for what it predicts will happen based on what always happens, do you like what it will prepare your body to do? Do you want your body to be prepared to go to sleep sooner than you're ready? Is there something else you might like to do instead in the evenings that would feel more like you were directing your life at night instead of getting your tea when you feel tired or your coffee? Maybe you would like to throw in a load of laundry because that helps you the next day. Maybe you would like to do a quick, I don't know, sweep up or clean up of the house so that you feel like your house is ready for the next day. Some people might say, no, I actually don't. I'm done working. I want to be able to veg and relax. Great. And how do you want to veg and relax? I'm assuming it's probably not, if you're like me, literally falling into unconscious deep sleep without your awareness. And then waking up at like 1 o'clock in the morning going, oh my gosh, I did it again. And then shutting all the lights off and going upstairs. All the while knowing that probably your kids or your husband probably tried to wake you at one point, but you were so dead asleep. I'm assuming that that's not how you want your evenings to go. I know for sure that's not how I would like my evenings to go. It's not every night, but it sure does happen often. I'm 49 years old, and I'm only saying that not because it's an age, but I'm not 25 anymore, and maybe when I was 25, that was fine. But for me, Carrie Watterson, in this body at this time, until I adopt better habits, that's what my brain predicts is going to happen every night. And if I don't interrupt that pattern by choosing something different, I will continue to repeat that pattern. But if I can say, hey, actually, honey, do you want to play this game with me tonight? Or maybe I break out the Sudoku and try to wrestle my brain with one of those for a bit before I go to bed. I'm not sure. I could do anything, right? But just think about for you whether or not any of this resonates with you. And if it does, The great news is everything starts with awareness without judgment so that you can get to a point of choice and making a new decision so that you can feel like you're once again in more control of your life, or as my client would say, in the driver's seat of your life, in the driver's seat of your evening. What things might you want to do? Have you been wanting to organize your closet for some time? Have you been wanting to declutter a kitchen cabinet or your kitchen? Have you been wanting to organize your basement? I say all those things because those are top of mind for me. And honestly, I don't necessarily feel like my weekends should be those things. Because if I make them interesting and fun and I make them something that I do in me time, then it's like those are things that I would like anyway because they will help my brain feel less cluttered. That's just my brain. And that's a gift to me. So if I can look at it from that mindset, then maybe instead of getting into comfy pajamas and sitting down, then getting up and getting tea and then falling dead asleep, maybe I stay up and maybe I say, okay, I'm going to actually throw out all the expired, I don't know, seasonings, whatever, spices in your spice rack, whatever it might be, in this particular cabinet. And then I'm going to take a look at tomorrow's schedule to see what's going on so I can make sure if I need to set anything out, etc. Just little things that I can do for myself in the time that I've categorized as me time to help me, whether it's helping future me or helping present me. The last thing I want to say on this topic before we end this episode is on the topic of using this time that we've identified as me time to actually have an intentional bedtime, to actually use it to get the sleep that you want. For example, let's say that you've designated as, quotes, me time or my time as starting at around 9 o'clock or so, 8:30, 9 o'clock, right? And yet, one of the things that you know would really, really help you, maybe change so many things for you, help you be more alert during the day, help you really get your cognitive clarity back, etc., is to get some more decent sleep. Not just hours of sleep, tossing and turning, but decent sleep. And you know, part of that probably will require you to decide on purpose a very specific bedtime, at least to shoot for, instead of just not having one period and going to bed at various hours, different hours every night, right? If in fact a bedtime routine or a nighttime routine that is designed to help someone fall asleep requires similar things happening in the similar order as similar times day after day, then we know that going to bed even as adults at similar times is going to eventually turn into that pattern that our brain will detect to predict what will happen next and start preparing the body for what it is that we want to happen. So for me, in my journaling session recently, when I was allowing myself to just be transparent and explore why I was staying up at different hours, etc., one of the things that I realized was that I had listed a certain period of time as my time, not even sure why, but I had designated that, and therefore, I could use my time to do whatever I want. And what if what I really wanted was starting to develop really good habits so that I could start getting some really good sleep, right? And that's how I could use that time. That could be my me time. That would be something for me. I will just be hopefully at some point, once these routines actually start rewiring my brain and my body, will show up as restful sleep. Okay, and that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. What is your nighttime routine? And did you know you even had one? I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. One-on-one mindset coaching isn't just for athletes or select people. It's for anyone who wants to ask more of themselves, but knows their thinking is getting in the way. Uncover what's holding you back. It's often not what you think. Learn tools and concepts to challenge your thinking and regulate your emotions so you can set goals you want and be able to do the belief work to meet them rather than playing small and at the effect of your unchallenged beliefs in your unchallenged mind. It's not about following the crowd. It's about giving yourself permission to think outside the box, to find inspiration and processes that resonate with your brain so you can finally feel what it's like to live a life that feels true and meaningful for you. If this is work you're excited to do, you'll want to sign up for my free offering, a 90-minute deep dive coaching call, so you can experience firsthand what it would be like to work together and how mindset coaching can change your life. To book a call, email me at Kari@KariWatterson.com. That's Kari@KariWatterson.com with the subject line, book 90-minute call. At the end of the day, we have one life. How do you want to live yours? How do you want to show up? Think about it, and then let's get to work.